Also, if you want to leave a prayer request in the comment section, or if you want to send a message there to our page in order for that to get back around to us, we'll be glad to help you pray about your request. I want to thank God for answering some prayers this week for our church. Been some things going on that God knows, and people had some surgeries, different things, and God answered some prayers for us in those circumstances, and we just thank God for that. We also have a lot of prayer requests that we need to be praying about, a lot of families in our church that need to need some prayer. Of course, we need to be praying for our nation right now, that God will just bless and give some guidance and some strength. And there's some places that we need to have some backbone, and then there's some places that we need to make some adjustments in our lives, and we just ask God to give us wisdom and all of those things. But so thankful tonight to be able to be in church with you. I'm not going to be teaching tonight. I'll go ahead and lay that down. Brother Shane Davis is going to be teaching for us tonight. I got hurt. I'm getting old, and I got hurt this week, and I would tell you how I got hurt, but I'm almost embarrassed. I just got hurt trying to lay down in the bed last night, so it's getting bad when you can't even go to bed without getting hurt. But I'm a little gimpy on my knee tonight, so I called Shane this morning and said, "Brother, you ain't got something on your heart that you could teach tonight?" And he was more than happy to accept the opportunity to come and teach for us tonight, and I really appreciate him being willing to stand in for me tonight. So before we get started tonight, I do want to go to the Lord in word of prayer. Again, if you have a prayer request that you want to share there in the comment section, feel free to, and we'll do our best to pray for those prayer requests. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. God, I just thank you for this opportunity that we have to be in your house tonight. And God, I just want to thank you for putting your hand on us and taking care of us, even in the times that we don't know that you're taking care of us, God. God, I pray as we've come here together tonight, I know that there are many requests on our hearts. If we had the time and the opportunity, God, that we could take prayer requests for quite some time. But I'm glad to know that you know those needs in our hearts and our lives. God, I do want to thank you and praise you for the situations that you've moved on this week. God, I pray, dear Father, for some special requests that we have in our church right now. God, I pray for some families in our church who are going through a lot of things. God, you know those needs, and I ask you just to touch in an amazing way. God, as we get into this scripture tonight, God, I pray that you'll touch our hearts. God, I pray that you will just help us to, while we're in this place of refuge tonight, to let everything else go, not to worry about the problems of tomorrow, because we don't know if tomorrow will ever come. But just take a minute and focus on our relationship with you, to be strengthened with you, and God, that we may always walk in a way that gives you glory and that may point someone else to the cross of Christ. God, I thank you for Fellowship Baptist Church, what it means to me. I pray that you'll add to us in the way that you see fit. And God, may we also always be used for your glory. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Shane, come on, teach us tonight.
How's everybody this evening? It's a little bit weird hearing my voice, so. We're going to start our reading tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Before we start the reading, you know, the things that we've got going on in the world right now are surely crazy. I know in my lifetime, this is the, you know, I've never seen anything like this. It's completely out there, and I don't know, you know, I've had several people, you know, ask me as Christians, what are we going to do as Christians to affect what's going on in the world today? Well, you know, we got rioting, right? People out throwing bricks through windows and burning down storefronts and causing people to lose their livelihoods. We've got people wanting to tear down statues. And I was telling my family the other night, we get together on every Thursday and have a meal together. And I was telling them that the next thing they'll be coming for is the cross. And now look what we've got with the statues of Jesus Christ. But can I tell you something? They can tear down every cross that we've got posted in this nation, but they can't tear the cross down on Calvary. That cross will stand forever, right? So I have to admit, if they start tearing statues of Jesus Christ down and pulling crosses off buildings, I will be upset, and I probably will be vocal about that, right? But this world, what is this world? It's lost and dying, right? So we're not supposed to, we can't worry about the things of the world, but I know we're going to. All right, so Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 and verse number 1 says, "Though I speak with tongues," and again, now he's carrying on a thought here. So if you guys want to, I didn't do this for time. I'm going to read the whole chapter 12 to you. But he's carrying on from chapter number 12. "Though I speak with tongues of men of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass and tinkering cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, And though I have all faith so that I could move mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, I profit nothing. Now, this word charity here, I know everybody out here knows what that word translates to. And what is, somebody tell me what that is. Love. So he's there. I'm going to read that one more time. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And when a man reads that, it would be easy to misunderstand that and think, well, wait a minute. If I give everything I've got to charity, is that not what this verse is telling me to do? I just did that. Well, in 1964, this country started what they call the War on Poverty. And we have spent $27 trillion. I don't even know how many zeros that is. It's a bunch, right? $27 trillion since that day. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to try to feed people who are hungry. But has it fixed the problem? No. You think the rioting they're doing is going to fix the problem? Tearing down the statues is going to fix the problem? No, that's not where the answer lies. And we'll get to where that answer lies. All right? 20 of the richest men in America last year donated $8.7 billion to charity. I don't know which ones. I didn't look it up. It might be to Save the Platypus or something. I don't know what they donated it to. But again, that's an example of how money does not fix the problem, right? The net worth of these guys, that $8.7 billion, was less than 1% of their total wealth. So did they really do anything? The Bible says here, if you give everything you've got and you don't have charity, you've not done anything. These guys gave less than 1%. Bill Gates gave $586 million of his own money. That's how much he put in towards that. That's a lot of money, right? I think that's 7 zeros. Is that right? I think I might be able to comprehend that one. You know, $1 million is a little closer to something that's fathomable to me. So what is charity? What is love? How do we, if we're going to, us as Christians, right, I believe that $100 or $1 given with what this Bible is calling charity here, and we'll find out what that is, would be worth more than that $8.7 billion that they've spent because they did it with the wrong heart. Okay, so let's go over to 1 John, chapter number 4, if I can find it. That's close to the back, ain't it? Chapter number 4 and verse number 7. So when the Bible poses a question for us, so when we see that word charity and we know that that word means love, we can go to the Bible and find out what love is. Isn't that just amazing, right? If you want to know how to do math, what book are you going to use, pull out? Right. If you want to learn how to live, this is the book we need to be using, right? All right, so we'll start the reading in verse number 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Now here he's telling us that the love that we can possess is of God. But he's not finished there. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God, wait a minute, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now he's given us an attribute of God. God is love. So when we talk about doing this charity, we're talking about doing it of God because we possess God. He's going to tell us that too. Verse number 9, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God. When I was out in the world, and you guys here at church, thank you, know me, right? But you don't really know me. You know the shame that's been coming to Fellowship Baptist Church for the last 11 years. You don't know the shame that used to run around chasing dope. You don't know that side of me, and you never will, thanks to him, right? Because he changed that. You don't know that side of me. Was I loving God when I was chasing dope? No. How about when I was chasing money and doing horrible things to people and backstabbing them and doing whatever I could to get that dollar from them? Was I chasing God? Was I loving God? No. And I hate to even use this word in church, but what about when I was, let's just say this, when I was chasing exotic dancers, instead of using the other word, was I loving God in that? No. So how in the world am I standing here today? He's going to tell us. Was manifest the love of God towards us because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So there's this little guy, and I don't know if any of you, Lynn, I know Lynn was, and his wife, they've been here from Bruce. Y'all been here for since the foundation of the church was set, I think. Is that right? A lot of you in here have been. Well, there used to be this little guy that came to church here, and he actually was going when Fellowship Baptist Church was down the road here a piece. And I worked with him. And that's when I was running and doing all the things of the world and everything that I could do to do the opposite of what God would have us to do. He just come in one day and started talking to me about Jesus. This guy, his name is Terry Wall. Y'all know Terry Wall. He doesn't know Scripture. He can't quote Scripture to you. And that's not a dig on Terry. Terry is an awesome guy. I love him. But what he did is he came to me and said, hey, there's this guy named Jesus. And guess what? He loves you. And I'm like, Terry, you don't know who I am. You don't know the things I'm doing. You're telling me that God, and it's not that I didn't know anything about God. I had a grandfather, a great-grandfather that was a pastor of a church. And so I knew, you know, here what God was and who Jesus was and all that thing. But Terry never stopped. He just kept coming to me as time would allow and say, hey, man, you know, this dude named Jesus, he loves you. He loves you so much that he died for you. God sent him down here just for that purpose. Won't you come down to Fellowship Baptist Church? Now, Terry Wall didn't save me, right? But he did what God wanted him to do, which was come to me and say, hey, man, let me tell you about this dude named Jesus, right? And that's the way we talk. All right, so we understand that God is love. So if we're doing these charities, all that money, and I don't know some of these 20, I didn't look up all their names, and I did some of them, and I don't know who they are, all these rich guys. Some of them may very well be Christians, right? I have no idea. Bill Gates, with some of the things he said and done, I doubt it. I don't know a man's heart, and I don't want to pass any judgment on anybody. But all this, all the money and all the problems in the world, you can take everything that those guys have got. You can tear down every statue that these people that are protesting won't tore down. They won't be satisfied, right? You can tear it down, let them bust out every window on every street in America, and they won't be satisfied because satisfaction is not going to come from the world. As when I started doing the drugs, it escalated. And when I say escalated, the severity of the drug. So most people in that community would say that marijuana is not a drug. It's a recreational type thing. When you step into cocaine and methamphetamine, then people say, oh, you're serious, right? It's because you're trying to fill a void that's inside of you when you're in the world. And that's what these people have. They have a void. And yes, has there been things that have been done wrong? Yes. Was that guy, George Floyd, was that his name? Was he murdered? Yes. I understand that. And I'm not trying to make light of that situation. But I am trying to say that we as Christians, we can't let our focus be on that. We got to keep our focus on God. He says our first and greatest commandment is to do what? Love him with all your heart, mind, and soul. Right? And that's where our focus needs to be as Christians. All right, so let's turn over here to 1 Timothy. Man, my heart's beating 1,000 miles an hour, guys. I'm sorry. I hope I'm not talking too fast. But, you know, kind of nervous about being, I know this is four walls and a roof. But this is where God comes to meet his people on a personal level. You know, the classroom's a little different than being in behind this pulpit. So, all right, so we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, and verse number 1 is where we're going to start the reading. Again, the thought is being continued here, but I didn't want to read all of chapter 1 to you, so you can go back and do that yourself. I'm not trying to hide anything from you. Exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks to be made for all Christians. Is that what it says? Y'all, it's right up there. Is that what it says? Oh, I'm sorry. For all people who are not saved. Nah, it says all men. Let me ask you a question. Have you prayed? Anybody here pray for those guys that's on the street protesting? That's what we need to be doing, right? I don't agree with it, with everything they're doing. Shoot, pick up a rock, throw it through anybody's window and be burning down buildings. I don't agree with that. I don't support it, and I never will. But we got to be praying for them. He didn't stop right there, though. I did. For all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. Well, that's hard to do sometimes. For people that's in authority. You know, I don't know President Trump's religious beliefs. But I tell everybody all the time, what party are you with? Christian party. You're not, are you Republican? What do you mean? You're Republican? No, I didn't want to say it. I'm a Christian. And I'm going to support that to the best of my ability. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And that's what I want to do. Man, I just want to be left alone, be able to worship my God, be able to do what I can to serve Him, and just, you know, and chill. That's what I want to do. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. That's what we got to be praying for, is that we can somehow share something with somebody. You know, and Kurt, man, his testimony. He thought, I don't know if that touched anybody else like it did me. And Josh, for somebody to be able to say that they've got saved at 7 years old and have lived a Christian life. Now, Josh is not perfect, and he'll admit that. And if he thought he was perfect, I wouldn't be coming here, right? Because none of us are. But that's an awesome testimony. Kurt has got I thought it was just awesome, man. I mean, I cried. I watched it 3 times and cried the 3rd time. You can ask my wife. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but I just thought that was amazing. Somebody like me that come out of what I come out of, to hear somebody say, oh, well, I've lived this life my whole life. Man, that's awesome. You know, Kurt, never been in a fight, never drank, never done. I mean, I was amazed by that. So when we're praying for these protesters, it's not praying that they'll come off a street. It's not praying that they'll get some common sense and come to understand what it is they're actually doing. It's praying for their salvation. Because that's the only thing guys, this world is gone. This world is leaving. God set into place, when He created the earth, He set in place the ending. Now, I don't know that any of this that's going on right now has anything to do with that. I don't know. I do know that the end of the world's already been prophesied, and it's coming. And I also, that's not to say, I pray every day for a revival, and I have been for a couple of years now. Personal revival, and then a revival of this nation. I would, you know, and it's getting less and less because those people are passing on, but you used to hear all the time, especially in the 80s, about how the great revival they had back in the early 50s. Where's ours? Is God not the same God as He was then? Of course He is. So what's the issue? Is it not God? God's not holding back the revival to be stingy, right? Are we seeking that revival? That's what we need to be doing as Christians, is praying for the lost, seeking after ways to bring people to Jesus Christ. I lost my place here. Whom will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, who? Jesus Christ. He's our mediator. And I tell everybody that I meet, hey, come to Fellowship Baptist Church. We've got an awesome pastor. And I believe with all my heart that Josh is doing everything he can to let God lead this church. I believe that. And like I said, I know he's not perfect, but I believe he's trying to let God lead the church, right? But he has nothing to do with my salvation. The Bible says for me to work out my own salvation. Not that I need to work out how to get saved, right? That's only one way to do that. But once I'm saved, what's my life look like after that? What's my path that I've got to take? And everybody in here, if you're a Christian, you have been asked to go out and give the gospel. Are you doing that? Church, we have got to get, and when I say church, I mean the Christian body, right? Not Fellowship Baptist Church. We've got to get up off our rumps and get out in the world. The world is gone, but God has set somebody in your life that needs to hear the testimony from you. When He set up, I don't know why, an all-powerful God 2,000 years ago would have sent Jesus Christ to die for me, but He did, right? I don't know why he would have chose to let the Jewish people be slaves, but he did. And it was perfect, right? His will in that situation was perfect. Why he would choose to show himself, to have us, to be the way he reveals himself to the world, is to have us Christians go out and spread the gospel. I don't know why he chose that, but I know it's the perfect way to do it, because if it wasn't, he would have had us, he'd have had some other way for it to be done. But we have free will, and we can sit on our hands and talk about all the things that's going on in the world and not get up and get involved. And when I say get involved, I don't mean to go do a counter protest. I mean tell somebody about Jesus Christ. That's all we have to do. That's where the love comes from, right? Comes from getting saved. When we get saved, we're going to continue to read right here. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Well, did I skip one? Hold on a second. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Church, time's now. He didn't come back this second. He might the next. I don't think there's anything left to be fulfilled in prophecy for him to come back except for him to get up and split the sky and sound the horn and come on. And I'm ready for it. I mean, I love being here. I love my family. I want to spend as much time as I can with them. I'm not saying I'm ready to die, but if the Lord decided he was coming back tomorrow, that's not too early for me, right? But what are we going to do from this day to that day? God has called you to go out and be a witness for him. Are you going to do that? You don't have to. We all know that. There's plenty of things that God's asked me to do in my life that I've said no. I promised him I would never say no again. That's why I'm here tonight. Because I'm never to have a God. Guys, think about it. I saw this picture on Facebook of this lady who was on drugs. Okay? It's the worst image I've ever seen of a human being still living. Horrible. I don't know how she was alive. She weighed 90 pounds. She got saved. She got healed from drugs. She's gained, what was it, 70 pounds or something? Completely different. And when I saw that, I thought, that's a picture of sin and salvation. Because we were dead in our trespasses. And now we're alive. When people look at you in the world, is that what they see? Or do they see, man, I don't know what we're going to do about all these protesting. Man, this really makes me mad that they're doing this and that and other, you know. Again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't care. I'm not saying don't go to the poll and vote, right? I'm not saying that Christians are not involved in the world. We are. But our focus needs to be on him and what he did on the cross for each and every one of us. All right, that's all I've got. I know that was kind of, I don't know how long it's been, but kind of fast. All right, let's see. Bruce, you want to dismiss us in prayer?